Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone calls right here today on New Life Live. We're glad you're with us today here on New Life.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Henry Cloud. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
Good, Steve. Well. How are you?
Good. I have a question for you.
Okay. Shoot.
Actually, I have a quote, and I want your opinion. Your quality of life is going to be determined in large part by the amount of willingness you possess in your heart. How about that? Willingness. Is that the big deal? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm thinking the willingness to what?
Willingness to get help, willingness to look at yourself, willingness to say you're sorry, not willingness to be stupid, because that's not really something that I can control myself. But
I think a willingness to go beyond what I'm, comfortable with is a key to that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Henry, what do you think?
I think that it is certainly a major component. I would struggle with the word the.
What would be another thing to add to willingness? Would be another question.
If you look at a plant, for example, which is one of the easy metaphors to work with, a plant can be really willing and not have any water.
Yeah.
So, and the other problem is that we have a tendency in the Western world to see willingness as choice as a cause. Like in the phrase, by an act of the will, you hear that a lot, and you make a choice and this, that, and the other.
Right. Self-will and willpower.
And that concept comes out of faculty psychology, a system of the 1800s. And the will, the word for will in the Bible is the word that means desire. And so that gets stronger to something like want or need than it does just choice, and we make choices out of our desires and our hungers, and so it's a complicated thing, but we have to see also willingness as not only a cause, because it is a cause, and you're right, Steve, but willingness is also a result. Willingness.
How do you get the result?
It's got to be built, and it's a response to a lot of things, but our choices are always a response to God's grace. As a child's choices are always a response to love, and so it gets built. Willingness gets built.
How about if you say a willingness to do something different?
Because
I think a lot of times we're willing, but we keep doing the same thing over and over.
It's true.
And nothing changes. So a willingness to be open to something different, like the plant is willing, a willingness to getting some water.
Yeah. I just appreciate your willingness to talk to me.
But Steve, you could say it like you said it, and the way you said it was your quality of life is going to be affected by your willingness, and that is an absolute true statement. The only thing it's going to be affected by, but yes, if you are unwilling or unwilling to be made willing, then you're in jail.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I was thinking about it so much is I was just trying to think about, I was thinking about my wife and what is so different about her and unique and, wonderful. And it's her willingness. Mm-hmm. It's versus all defense, all, you know, justification. It's just a pretty cool thing.
Yep.
And I want to challenge everybody to look at that area of your life. It could be a real key. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with two great, great colleagues and good friends and, man, people I admire. Dr. Dave Stoop, he's written Just Us, a devotional with he and his wife Jan. He's written How to Forgive the Unforgivable or Forgiving the Unforgivable. So many other books. Henry, he and John Townsend have written the Boundaries series. And Henry, your latest book would have been which one?
It would be The One Life Solution.
One Life Solution. We have that book, and if you'd like a copy of it, this is a book about, well, you hear Henry use this word if you've listened for decades, integration. And this is about integrating all the areas of your life into one thing versus this whole split off thing where you know, you get addicted to email and forget you have children. Anyway,
or the black you love with your children so much you forget to do your email. Hey Steve, can I make one comment about your last topic?
Sure.
Because this is a big deal. When people talk about the will, and you know, you need to be willing to give this up and willing to do that and willing to do that, certainly we do, and what you said is absolutely true. But the problem is that as I said, our ability to choose is a fruit. You know, the Bible, in Galatians 5, it says that self-control is a fruit. Mm-hmm. And so it's a fruit of other things having happened. And sometimes people can't make the choices that they need to make to have a good quality of life. But mm-hmm. what they could do, like you're saying, is they could be willing, A, to be made willing, but B, they could be willing to get into the right kind of garden that will strengthen them to being able to make those choices. Like if an addict is out of control, they might not can choose against whatever the bad thing is. But they could choose to go to a meeting every day.
There you are.
And you've got to be willing to be made willing by the resources that God has for you. So we can always fall on the altar. And the good thing about the choices that the Bible asks us to make is they are choices of poverty of spirit, meaning that they're basically giving up power choices, not having willpower.
Mm, very good. Thanks. All right, let's go to the calls, everybody. And by the way, if you want information on the New Life weekend that's coming up, our next one, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, a weekend, 36 hours, that really could change your life for the better. But you got to be willing to call. Let's go to Ann from Boston, Massachusetts. WEZE is the station. Hello, Ann. How are you today?
Hi. How are you doing?
Great. What's going on in your life?
Okay. I haven't dated for 18 years, and I want to go on the internet. And I'm in my early 50s, and I don't know what to say on it.
Boy, did you ever call the right people.
You don't know what to say? You want us to write your profile for you?
That would be nice. I got a pen.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
Well, really,
I had more to say, but, you know, they told me just to go quick. So I did.
Hey, Ann. If I called you and said, let's say you're an airplane pilot, okay? If I called you and said, hey, Ann, I haven't flown a plane for 18 years. I'm thinking about going out and buying one. Which one would you buy?
The one I've seen in the picture, the one I have on my vision board.
Yeah, there you go. I think what you tell me is, well, you know, what have you done in the last 18 years to get you ready to go fly a plane?
Well, I'm involved in my church. I'm in the Word. You know, I'm with women of faith, you know, married, because they go to a family church. I'm involved in women's ministries and, you know, because I'm in my early 50s, I've been in my church for a long time.
All right. Let me ask you a question, because you've listed four or five things there. Have those four or five things equipped you to be appropriately vulnerable with a man while being open and being able to invest yourself at the same time having judgment and values that keeps you from doing things impulsive? A. Have those things equipped you to be able to see a shyster, whatever that word is, and determine that from a man of good character, which Steve calls the right man, making the right choice? I could go on and on and on, but all those relate to dating. So have you been in a laboratory that's getting you equipped?
No, I haven't. I went on one date. I blew it. You know, I have friends.
Wait a minute.
I have friends with daughters that I should have talked to. You know, talk about, what do you talk about? Because he asked me a question, and
right,
I answered the question.
Well, come on.
I'm so honest.
I'm so happy that you're ready to date. I wrote a book called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, and we're going to send it to you. But what it says is that dating, while it might be the, you know, there's an end goal sometimes, that it's a process which, done well, which actually can help equip you to do the process itself.
Uh-huh.
And so you just got to make sure you're doing some growth in these relationship areas that get you ready to go play the game. You know, a football player is going to go out there for the opening game. They've been in training for that game for months and months to get their muscles strong. We just want to make sure you're in shape.
So the training is to get out there and be in situations where you're around men and you can evaluate men and kind of get an idea as to what to watch out for and what to protect yourself from, those types of things.
That's one area. But another area of training, that would be like watching the team, the film games of the game of the team you're going to play against. But another thing means going to the gym and lifting weights so your muscles are strong. So that would mean knowing that your heart is so filled up with love that when a guy rejects you, you think something's wrong with him, not you.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to be assertive and being in a group where you're learning to say no and to express yourself and having good, you know, emotional boundaries. Getting in shape as a healthy person so you make healthy choices.
Okay, some of those things I think I'm good with, you know, because I'm around men every single day and I talk to them all the time about everything.
Ann, stop.
Not about me, though.
Stop. Whoa, then you don't talk to them about everything. And do you talk to them about, hey, bub, I think you're pretty cute. Why don't we go out and spend a day at the beach?
Well, no, I don't go that far.
No, you don't, because in dating, that's kind of what happens. And so what I'm saying to you is you're going into a realm where you hadn't been in 18 years, and there's reasons for that. And I'm just saying, begin to look at all of the areas where you need to be ready.
Okay, so I should start dating, though, right?
You should start dating if you're not going to crash the plane.
But I don't think I'm going to crash the plane. I think my heart, I think I've been preparing my heart, because that was one thing I was worried about, is that the emotions. And I think I'm very strong in my emotions.
All right.
That I'm
okay.
Not, you know, I have friends to bounce off with, too.
All right, okay, then I would do it the way I said in the book. I'd make sure you're dating a lot of people before you let your heart go.
The other test is what Henry said, is when a guy doesn't call you back, you know, who are you going to feel is responsible for that? Is it you or is it him?
I saw the movie.
Which movie?
And I read half the book.
Which movie?
about the guy not calling you back. I forget the name of it.
Okay. Oh, he's just not that into you.
Yeah, he's just not into you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know what? You're a delightful woman, and I would imagine there are a lot of guys that would love to spend time with you, and I hope that you will approach it from kind of a journey and a discussion. Yes, Henry.
Oh, I just got a question to that point. Steve just said there's a lot of guys that like to spend time with you, but Ann, they hadn't had a shot at it for 18 years, so why is that?
I don't know. I'm like, what's up with that? I'm not ugly. I'm pretty. I'm an ex-bodybuilder. I'm like, what's up with that?
Okay.
That's a good question. That is a good question.
I don't know.
You got a sign on your forehead that says not interested, and so you're going to have to turn that off.
So here are the first 10 dates that I would recommend for you.
Okay.
With a counselor to find out what that's about. Why is it?
Sit down with a counselor?
Yeah, for 10 visits and explore why haven't I wanted to in 18 years? Why do I want to now? All of those things.
You know what? I was just thinking, should I call my pastor's wife first?
Well, there's a start.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not
a bad if you're a bodybuilder and you challenge every man you meet to arm wrestling, you know, probably not going to go well.
I don't.
Okay.
I'm not strong like that. You know, no, I don't. It's just that I was, you know, when a long time ago, 18 years ago, when I first got in the church, you know, I was really young and I was just divorced. And I told my pastor's wife, well, when I found my husband, you know how a man's supposed to find a good thing. Well, I found a good thing. And, you know, we were together, so I asked him to marry me. And we got married with an agreement with, you know, that's all the side effects. That it worked that way. And I said, well, when I find another guy, I'll ask him, too. And that was like, no way. Well, I grew out of all that.
Wait a minute. What was your agreement? What was the agreement?
Oh, I don't want to talk about the agreement.
Well, if it led to the failed marriage, it might apply here, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
What was the agreement?
Oh, I don't want to tell you the agreement. I'll write it to you.
Well, I'd just say you think you better take it into consideration because it might mean something if it didn't work once.
S. Arterburn at newlife.com.
Anything in the future.
Well, but
S. Arterburn at newlife.com. I want to know what that.
Write it down.
Send it to Steve. Okay, write it down, and I'll send it to you.
All right. Now, here's another thing. You said, should you go talk to your pastor's wife? I don't know her, so I'm speaking in theory here. So this is nothing anybody can take personally. But here's the deal. The reason I said I don't know if you should talk to her. What does she think about dating? Because there are a lot of Christians out there. They'll tell you, you know, dating is only to find the one, or dating's all about marriage, or you shouldn't even date until God, you know, brings you the one, and all this kind of stuff. Which my book is going to tell you the opposite in a lot of ways. But if you're wanting to date, you probably ought to kind of find somebody whose philosophy and theology of dating might, you know, tend to fit that activity.
Okay. Do they have to be a counselor?
And can be backed up by the Bible. What?
Do they have to be a counselor?
No.
They just have to be wise.
Oh, okay.
You know, I wouldn't pick a midwife. I'd pick somebody that's had experience with this particular area of life.
But a midwife... talked to a lot of people who have had experience. Yeah. Right?
All right. Well, I'm glad you called. We will send you Henry's book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, and my book, Avoiding Mr. Wrong. And you've certainly done that for 18 years. But when you start dating, you've got to develop some new skills there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If anybody wants a copy of either of those books or any of the things that we publish, you can also find out about next week, our New Life Weekend in San Jose, California. I think you're going to be pleased. And all you have to do is develop that willingness muscle, pick up the phone, and just ask us to tell you about it. You'll love it. You won't be disappointed. Let's go over here to Tommy from Baltimore, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Hello, Tommy. Welcome to New Life, and happy Friday to you.
Hi. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, I suppose you know the basics of why I'm calling. They'd probably give you a little info, but I'm a Catholic, cradle Catholic, actually, who ran screaming from the church at the age of 18, found my way back by divine providence somewhere around 26. So I spent a good deal of time, you know.
Yeah, very cool. Okay.
Out there on my own, doing my own thing. And around the time my grandfather passed away in the mid-90s, I really had just an amazing experience with genuine, true salvation. I got it. Like, it finally made sense. I saw where the Lord was all over my life. And I went in, you know, breathing fire. I was really charged up. Was saved through a Protestant church, but find myself now pushing 40, really, really happy and satisfied with Catholicism.
Okay.
And maybe that's because I have this sort of, I don't know, this bilingual faith thing going on inside my head. I don't know.
What do you mean bilingual?
I think, I talk, I act more like a Protestant. You know, in my church, I'm a little bit of a novelty. And I don't look at that as being something great or not. It's just I have a different way of looking at things, a different way of looking at preaching, a different way of looking at worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I so enjoy my time in my home church, which is a wonderful and very large Catholic church.
Okay. So what's the question for us so we can talk amongst ourselves at the break and come up with some kind of brilliant answer?
Now, the best question I can give you is, where am I possibly missing something? I've heard a lot of expository preachers and all. They do it very nicely, but they kind of say Catholics are off the beaten path. Like you're missing something. You're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
What am I not getting, or am I getting it? And you know what I mean?
I think you got it, but
sounds like
I think you got it, Tommy. But it's how to articulate it.
Yeah. Let me. Have you listened to our program very long? I'm just curious.
At least 10 years.
Oh wow!
Yeah, you're fine. Okay, let's.
There's
help
the Protestants, the Catholics, and then there's the New Lifers, right?
Yeah, it's just really the line of demarcation. All right, we're going to help you with this, and I'm so glad you called. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800 New Life. Come join us.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. Steve Arterburn here, and we're just having a really, really great chat. And with a guy that's listened to the program for 10 years, and he is a Catholic. He's come back to the Catholic faith, and he wants to know what is the deal, because a lot of evangelical folks think he's kind of missing out on something.
Well, and the Reformation is still going on, I think, you know, the fight in a lot of Protestant churches. And it's nowhere.
And it's not like all the Protestants get along either,
no,
there, Tommy. So, you know.
And I, you know.
Don't feel picked on.
When I grew up, you didn't go to the Catholic Church, you were condemned. And then I talked to my Catholic friends, and for them to go to a Protestant church, they were condemned. That's changed. The whole renewal thing within the Catholic Church has brought about a whole different mindset there. And in a lot of Protestant churches, it's the same. There's a, you know, there's such an emphasis on making a decision for Christ in the Protestant church. And that's not an old thing. That's something that's fairly recent. There's a fascinating book called Water from a Deep Well by a guy, can't think of his name, he teaches at Whitworth, where he traces spirituality from the time of Christ to the present and the ways that people experience their walk with the Lord. It's all shifted over the centuries, and what we see now is something that's current to today. So I think you're in a good place, Tommy. You've got some Protestant stuff in your head, and you got a good, solid Catholic foundation, and just keep talking. You'll find a lot of people within your church probably who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's the real issue. And it's how you get that relationship that the Protestants really emphasize much more than the Catholics do, in terms of it being a decision rather than a way of growing up. But when you look at the history of the church, you can't really say one way is the only way and the other way doesn't work, because there were times in the history of the church where that was the only way that somebody could become a part of the faith, was through being growing up in it. So I'm getting lost here anyway, but that's I would say just enjoy it. Stick with where you are, and don't feel guilty about having a different language of describing what happened to you. That's exciting.
Awesome.
Okay.
Good.
Henry, any thoughts from you, Henry?
It was a totally unexpected answer.
Yeah. Tommy, I'm not an expert in this. I know a little bit, but my big thing is you don't start with kind of like all the outer circles of the concentric circles in arguing about these things. You start in the center. And the center is that the Bible says one thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And that is that you are made right with God by placing your faith in His Son.
Amen.
Okay? And he who believes in the Christ is born of God. Okay? So If you put your faith in Jesus and you believe that he is God and died for you and was raised for you, then, okay, everybody's in the tent who does that. Now, from that point, we start to talking about, how all of that works and where it goes from there. And I would tell you, if I were in a Catholic church, the little bit that I know, if I were in a Catholic church, probably the one of the things that would get to be, a place where I would have to differ is the Catholics who believe that the Pope has kind of like the authority.
Ex cathedra.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From God to kind of sort of like, whatever the Pope says is it. Mm. And my faith is whatever the Bible says is it. And so I would just, I'd kind of have to start there. And that, I wouldn't get picky on a lot of the details. But to me, that's kind of a big one. But I have a lot of really strong believer Catholic friends. So
yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
And I was just talking to a gentleman today. So, but here's the question. When it comes to the Pope, do you say nope, or do you say yes, he is the authority? I think
it
matters.
That is a question. If the Bible said something and the Pope said something different, what would you do?
Well, in that case, it's obvious you side with the Bible. Of course, there's always room for interpretation, and that's the problem. Is if you have something that comes down the pike and it's an interpreted issue,
right? And can't but here's the question: can your interpretation be different than the Pope's?
It could be.
All right, and in that instance, then what do you do?
If I firmly believe that what I've discerned is true, and that it's supported, that I can support that statement. And again, this goes off in all kind of random directions, because some people think that premarital sex is okay. Some people don't, and these are all Christians, and they've justified things to themselves that
we're not talking about that, though.
They didn't get that from the Bible.
Well, but what's interesting is we've had some good popes in terms of their biblical scholarship, and that hasn't always been true over the centuries. There's been times when it was strictly a political thing within the city states of Italy and France, and that. But recently, the current Pope Benedict has a strong biblical foundation in terms of his interpretation of the Bible. So you're not going to get a lot of things coming from some of the current popes. current being the last 20, 30 years, that's going to contradict the Bible. It's going to be more an opinion.
I want to send you my book, and I just think it's going to be, you'll love it.
Being Hope Christian. With the Pope?
No, but you know, I was thinking the big problem is when people, like he was talking about people that just make stuff up. When you're your own Pope, that's the problem. You know, when you, even though it isn't in the Bible, oh, this is what I think.
When
that's
a big one. When I'm the Pope, I'm a dope, right?
Exactly, exactly. All right, we'll be back right after this with Pope Dave and Pope Henry, and your phone calls right after this for New Life Live. Interesting discussion. We have a lot of Catholic listeners. I love that. And if you have a thought about it, go to newlife.com and let us know what you think on the radio page. We'll be back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. One Life Solution. Well, that's the way Henry puts it in his book on how do we live a life that's fulfilling and not all chopped up and it all works together. And I hope you'll get a copy of that. Dr. Dave Stoop, he's written a wonderful devotional with his wife Jan called Just Us. He's also written Forgiving Ourselves, forgiving our whoever. What is that, David?
Well,
forgiving our
father,
forgiving ourselves?
Forgiving our parents, forgiving ourselves. But
okay.
Then the better
forgiving
one.
Giving the unforgivable is the big one for me.
That's the easier one to read.
Yeah.
Know? And it's.
Okay. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call if you'd like either of those. Would love for you to get that. Now, let's jump over here and let's go to Judy from Woodbridge, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hi, Judy. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you
Hi
for
there.
Taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I need some advice on how to move on in my life.
Okay.
I am an adult survivor of child abuse, sexual child abuse by my own father.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry about that.
Four siblings, also, they were, the other three were also sexually abused by my father.
Mm.
I ended up marrying my first husband, who ended up being abusive too, and I guess I was just looking for somebody like dear old dad, you know, because I was living what I learned.
Sure.
And I guess I learned that love was abusive. You had to be abused to be loved. And then I got divorced after a year and 9 months. And I remarried 2 years later to a young man that I met in the military.
How'd that go?
I was married to him for 16 years. We had two children. My two children are now adults themselves, and my daughter is getting ready to have her our first baby.
Okay. Well, how could we help you? What's the question for us then?
I'm having trouble having a complete and entire relationship with Jesus Christ because of what my father did to me. You know, you're supposed to be able to, I don't know, relate to Jesus Christ as he's your father, and it's hard for me to do that completely.
Sure.
Because of what my father here on earth did to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
also,
Dave, why don't you help her with this? And it's interesting, we just talked about your book on forgiving your father.
You know, there's a, among the people who work with the American Indians, there's so much abuse because of alcoholism, the high incidence of alcoholism, that when they translated the Bible, they made God into a grandfather rather than to a father figure because of the same issue you're talking about, Judy. Part of it says on the board here that your dad has already died, so that should make it a little bit easier for you to deal with. But part of what you've got to do is allow yourself to be angry with him and grieve over what he wasn't that he should have been and all the things that he was that he should not have been. And there's a grieving process that involves the sadness, but it also involves the anger and the protest. And my guess is that you haven't done that protest over it. When I dealt with my father for similar kind, not the same kind of issues, but abusive stuff, I did the anger part but never did the sad part. And so I never kind of got through that until I was able to do both the anger and the sadness and to really grieve and then put it to rest. And the way you put it to rest is ultimately at some point you forgive and you release it. You say, because you do the forgiving not for his benefit, you do the forgiving for your benefit. That's what gives you the freedom.
How does she do that, Dave? How does she forgive him? What's the process?
Well, the process is to, I mean, you've already done the first step. You know what he did that was wrong. And so you know what the issues are, but then you grieve. You've got to grieve. And that takes some time, and you've got to allow yourself to do the protesting and the sadness. And then you don't have to protect yourself anymore because he's gone. And then you come to a point where you're walking with somebody through this process. You're not doing this alone. You know, it can be a trusted friend. It can be a counselor. It can be a pastor's wife. You know, somebody that's going to walk with you and say it's time to forgive. And what I've seen, we've done this when I teach with YWAM. You write a letter. An angry, angry letter, and you finish the letter by saying, you know, because God in Christ has forgiven me, I unconditionally forgive you for all of the things that you ever did with me. And you read it to an empty chair, and then you burn the letter. And I've seen people's lives transformed over time when they've gone through that healing process because it frees you. It gets the monkey off of your back, and that's the point of it. And, you know, I did that 20 years after my father had already died, and that makes it easier because then you're not tempted to go and confront because the confronting doesn't do anything in terms of the healing process.
Mm. Yeah,
Henry, what are your thoughts?
My father passed away in 1984, and I married a second time to an alcoholic, abusive alcoholic who also was what they called dual addicted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
used drugs and alcohol
sure.
both.
Right.
Wow. And, I had two children by him, and like I said, they're already adults and getting ready to start families of their own. Mm-hmm. And
but see, you
they
don't,
are my most precious blessings from God.
But Judy, you don't try to fix them. You fix yourself. The way you fix them, so they don't make the same mistakes as you deal with yourself by looking at the past.
That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah,
yeah.
And
Isaiah 51 talks about.
It's hard for me to unpack my baggage,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
because I want to move on in my life, not only with a relationship, which is most important to me, with Jesus Christ, to complete an entire relationship with Him, but also to move on and maybe to find someone else.
Well, but see, what have you done to unpack those bags? What have you done so far?
I received counseling when I was in North Carolina from a guy.
How long ago
North,
was that?
North Carolina.
How long ago was that?
A very short period of time.
And how long ago was that?
Counselor or anybody that I had ever told about my child abuse, you know.
How long ago was that?
How
long ago?
In the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
And
You think it might be time to...
Right,
wait a second. Hold on a second.
Which has
now,
been 17
don't,
years.
Okay. Now, this
December,
is the... This is the biggest issue. Hold on a second. This is the biggest issue of your life, and you haven't really sought out help since the 90s. Don't you think it is time that you get some help to finally get this behind you and, as you say, unpack those bags or the baggage?
Now, you can't do it by yourself, Judy. You got to have somebody that helps you unpack the bags, because you'll just keep avoiding it because it's a painful process. And you won't do the protesting part. Women have a tough time doing the protest. They do the sadness, typically, a lot easier than they do the protest, the anger. And so you need really somebody that helps you to do that. And I would encourage you to get somebody. We can send you the book, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, and that'll be a help. But it's not going to do it unless you're involved with somebody in that process and you're working it through with somebody alongside of you.
Mm. Henry, any thoughts here?
Well, I was just going to talk about the other side of this and the God piece, Judy. I think that at the heart of your question is at the heart of all of our experiences. Certainly not as traumatic as yours, a lot of them, but as humans, when we're hurt, we ask, where was God? You know, and that causes and can cause a fracture, you know, in the relationship. And it's an old one. Job had the same thing. And so I would, if I were you, let me just give you one thought about this. You know, the Israelites were imprisoned in Egypt. And for whatever reason, God allowed that to happen. But God was the one who was knocking at their door saying, I'd like to take you out of prison and take you into the promised land. Do you want to come? And if they had said, well, we can't trust you because of what's happened to us, they'd still be there. And this is just something the Bible has throughout, that we have to... In order to get somewhere, we got to trust somebody that we don't fully understand why he allowed us even to get where we are. But we do know the clearer message, the most clear message, is he says, there, you know, for whatever reason, you'll never understand that those people did that to you. He says, I didn't do it to you, and I want to take you to a better land. And we have to trust that and give up to him what we will never understand. And that's why your father did not choose to follow God in his ways. But I can guarantee you one thing, God is as heartbroken over that as you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, I'm glad you called. And I hope you heard the first part of the program about willingness. And I hope and pray that you are going to be willing to get the help that you need. And we're going to help you do that. We'll be back after this.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the Archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here in our final segment here today. And don't forget that New Life weekend. And also don't forget that you could be responsible for somebody transforming their whole life. When you support them, when you give a scholarship, we love to see that happen. You can find out information for you or for someone else at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We can also provide you with a counselor in your area, which has been life-changing for many people. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Our final caller is going to be, why don't you guys pick who you'd like to be the final caller today?
Well, I'm curious about Charlie from Ocean City, okay. New Jersey, and his question.
Charlie. How are you, Charlie?
Hello.
How are you?
Yes. Fine, thanks, and thank you for answering my call.
Sure.
I wait already some time, and I was ready to wait all day. What's possible?
Well, what's going on?
Okay, I will try to be quick. I am married. I have my wife, and already have like 5 years that my wife say, "Hey, Charlie, now I don't feel anything for you. Now I don't love you anymore," and I keep saying, why? Why I have been doing wrong? No, because now you don't give me flowers like you used to do. I need that you give me this, give me that. I say, I'm sorry if I didn't that too much, but now let me keep doing my best for you. I write song for her. I buy chocolate. Even if she get a fat, it's okay, I say. But my question is, what I can do to make her that she love me like she was, like she loved me before? That's my one question. And another question is, how long I can keep trying?
Well, Charlie, what you've got to do is what makes a difference to her, and it doesn't sound like the flowers matter anymore or the chocolate. There's got to be some behaviors that love follows behaviors. It's, you know, if we do loving things, there's the feelings of love that come. You see that in 1 Corinthians 13, where everything in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, has to do with behaviors. So you've got to kind of do good mental gymnastics, because she's probably not going to tell you, and you've got to look at what is it that really matters to her. You know, you can get the love language book and figure out what her love language is. Maybe it's doing the dishes. Maybe it's taking out the trash without being asked. Maybe, you know, I don't know what it is, and you've got to find out what it is that matters to her and start doing those, and then you do those for as long as you have to do it. There's no guaranteed time limit that says if you do this for 6 months, everything will be solid. It might take 2-3 years before everything starts to turn around, because she's not going to believe that you're going to stick with it and keep on doing it.
All right.
I keep trying my best, even because she say, Charlie, it's too late now. I say, hey, I bring this for you. No, now it's too late. You should do this long time ago.
Okay.
So now, that situation. The other situation is she talk about separation.
Okay.
Let's separate. If I miss you, then then we will be together again.
No,
if I don't miss you during 3 months,
that's
we have to divorce.
That's a bad idea, Charlie. Don't separate, but start doing some things that are different. You keep doing the same thing with the chocolate and the flowers, and she's saying, don't do those things. Do something different, and you got to figure out what that different is.
Okay. Listen, I would keep thinking something different.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, let me just say one thing here at the end. People separate because they're trying to get away from something, and they're trying to get to something that they're not getting. And so, what I would do is sit down with her and say, "What is it that you are trying to move away from that I'm doing?" And if she says, "Well, it's because of all the things you didn't do," then you say, "So it sounds like what you're moving away from is because I still remind you of the hurt that I've caused over the years, and I want to help heal that hurt. And you've got to listen to it and go through it and understand it and all of that and connect with her heart that's underneath all that," like David's been saying. But if she says, "I can't be around you, I'm separating from you because of A, B, C, or D," then you begin to listen to those things. And the important thing is that you're not trying to, you know, talk her out of something. What you're doing is trying to understand and connect with her in it. And when you make that bridge, then you can begin to show her how you don't want to be that person anymore that she has to move away from, and you want to be the things that matter to her heart. But it's going to come through a heartfelt dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry you're going through this, but, boy, I tell you, I would find out if there's anything you could do, and then I'd also want to know, is there anything that she's willing to do with you? Would she see a counselor? Would she be willing to go and to experience a New Life Weekend or something that really could turn this around? And that could be the key. If we can help you with that, if you're listening to this and you've got that problem, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But I'm going to send you a copy of Better Than Ever. It's a book by Dave Stoop, and I hope that that's going to be a blessing to you. And I'll send you a copy of Boundaries in Marriage by Dr. Cloud, and I hope that will be helpful to you. We love getting to be here with you, but we cannot do it unless you help us. And we're so grateful to all of those who have. It really makes a huge difference to us. Please, if you can help us, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And I just hope and pray that you will experience a total transformation as a result of something that you would do differently. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, well, we're just about out of time. The other day I was talking about Haiti, and somebody mentioned that I said that their destruction happened because of greed. Well, I didn't say that at all, and I don't think that. I said.
Actually, they thought that I said it, and I didn't say it.
Oh, you said it.
No,
okay.
No. Well, Steve is the one that made a comment that they interpreted that way, that's not what he said.
Yeah. The comment was that rather than this be something that God did to punish somebody or whatever, which we often want to blame God on things, I was trying to make a point that, you know, maybe we shouldn't look that way, that in this case, if somebody had built those buildings up to some code that prevented earthquake extensive damage, they might be in a different place. So I was just saying that it's a matter of maybe someone years ago was too greedy when they were building an apartment building to build it well so it wouldn't collapse or fall down, or that school or something like that. So I mentioned greed, but certainly not that this was punishment from God because of greed. Oftentimes, things that happen are a natural consequence of something that we've done or not done. That was the point, and maybe I buried myself even deeper.
I think when you look at in Los Angeles, the high school across from our church was just torn down and rebuilt because it didn't meet earthquake standards, and that's what you're talking about. That there's a way to build them so that they are much, much safer than what was down there, and they didn't do that for whatever reason.
Yeah, okay.
Over the years.
Well, thank you for reinforcing that. And thanks, Henry, for bringing that up. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please help us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love you. We care about you. And we're going to send you John's book, Where is God? It's a beautiful book. You ought to buy it just to have it on the coffee table. That cover is it's award-winning.
Yeah, but it's a photograph. It's a photograph he took.
Yeah, in Antarctica.
Yeah.
But the depth of it is pretty amazing. Where is God? And in the wake of Haiti and other things, you might want a little bit better answer than what you have. 1-800, or what you've heard some other religious leaders say. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Henry. And all of you who support us, thank you so much. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. You call us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.